So students, we have reached the last chapter of this book on recruitment management, and we will explore the role of induction process in recruitment and selection. So here we will in detail look at the process of induction. We will also look at the parts that are involved in induction and the benefits of induction as some of the highlight points. So induction can be defined as a process of introducing the employees who are newly elected to the organization. In fact, you might have heard it from, you know, my mouth in the several last chapters about employees being inducted after being recruited. So when an employee is given a letter of appointment, he or she joins the company on duty. So they are officially now a part of that organization. Of course, many of the professionals who've worked for various organizations who have a rich experience know this process. So the very first thing that the company does is introduces the new employee to the organization and the people working there. Part of this process should include any type of systems and security training as well. So let's suppose, to make this simple for the ones who've not been a part of the corporate world, so very few exceptions must be there as a part of this program. Nevertheless, let me cover this. Let's say Mr. A joins a reputed company B and has successfully cleared their interviews. Now, don't you think it is worthwhile for the organization to give him a glimpse of the practices, the processes, the service level agreements, the way the finance and other department works in a gist? So this is precisely what happens. It can also include any sort of computer-based training and security-related practices. Now, in a pictorial fashion, this process is shown over here. So this starts with an introductory or an introduction session about the company, the number of locations or branches, in a chronological fashion, a history of how the company began with the initial products, okay? The number of countries operating in, organizational structure, the culture, the value, the beliefs, the names of the top management personnel, etc. Correct? So, you know, if you were to join, let's say, the Xerox Corporation, yeah, and you were to go to the US, you were deputed over there. So you will get a chronological view of how the organization has come up. The same would be true about a Tata in India, or any other organization across the world who employs a detailed induction process. So there are sessions on behavioral science. Induction can also be expansive in the sense it could include soft skill training sessions. In this, you would be acquainted on productivity hacks, time management essentials, cultural sensitization to that organization. In many organizations that I have consulted, like Volkswagen, I have also seen people being oriented to concepts like diversity and inclusion, gender-based diversity, and so on. So gender sensitization. So if it's a group of gentlemen who join, how could they be sensitive to the other gender or the other sex is what we, you know, could give training on. Sessions on giving details about the job, salary, bonus, so people from finance come and inform you. So for the new entrants, of course, this happens. What is a CTC? So they will, you know, tell you about the components in your CTC for the people who are not conversant. So they will inform you about the benefits of the PPF scheme, about group insurance, and so on. In fact, we've covered these topics in detail in one of our other subjects. Correct? So we've covered compensation and benefits in great detail. Information about different leaves can also be covered over here. Yeah, so they will inform you about what are paid leaves, what are unpaid leaves, what headers do leave come under. There are different ways in which sessions can be conducted. So the most conventional one is using a lecture mode or a method. This may or may not involve a PowerPoint. Today's contemporary organizations generally use a blended method. They may involve people, all the set of people who are inducted. They may involve the entire group rather than a one-on-one. They may involve some psychological testing which may be administered, role play sessions to make it more interesting. Some companies also assign a mentor or a buddy, like I was assigned a mentor or a buddy when I had newly joined KPIT Cummins, okay, to assist in onboarding once the new hire has begun working. So the induction program concludes with the employer reporting for duty at the respective branch after induction. So many a times, let's suppose a company having headquarters in Delhi, New Delhi, has inducted 30 new sales representatives and is running an induction for about 3 days, 3 working days. So after those days, those people will go to the respective locations. So let's say Mr. A is coming from Coimbatore, goes back to Coimbatore. Mr. B has come from Bangalore, goes to Bangalore. Mr. C has come from Kolkata, goes back to Kolkata. Mr. D has come from Mumbai, goes back to Mumbai. Yeah. So there is resume their duty or start their duty, I would say, from their respective location or branch. So when they report to duty, the senior most people in the branch take the new employee around the office and introduces them to the other employees and gives information about the working of the branch. After this, the company may start a training program as well. So let's suppose, they need a training in strategic account management. So they have been, sourced as key professionals for this particular job. They are not mere sales professionals. So they will be groomed by experts, okay? So this particular year, I have conducted training for various MNCs and Indian origin organizations to transcend, okay, to take them through a transcendence, to take them from their role as a salesperson to a key account manager, yeah? So this is just an example. Various training sessions can be conducted at the location as well. So apart from the ones happening at the HO, you could also have training sessions at your plant or your local branch. Now let's explore the need. Let's discover the need for the induction program. Of course, all the experienced folks will have preempted. They have been a part of this process. Nevertheless, let's have a quick mention of the same. So there is a lot that a new starter will need to know, which can be quite overwhelming. You may be a master at your trade, but you are, adopting to a new job. So although the basic systems might be, you might be aware, but to adopt to that new culture, the new, organization, it will have a sense of overwhelming. Yeah, so it will overwhelm you. So in order to reduce this, overwhelming aspect, organizations, they create tailor-made induction programs so that you feel more comfortable. Your alignment or orientation with the organization and your new surroundings happens in a better manner. So an effective or a profound induction program tends to introduce the newcomer not only to their immediate colleagues, but also to other workers with whom they might have less day-to-day contact. Nevertheless, they should know about these other overarching functions as well. So the induction program serves to welcome new hires to the business and help them transition. So transition meaning, okay, if I am like, I was working as, let's say, an L&D representative in my earlier organization, here I also have to look into some of the recruitment and HR practices. Now, this is relatively something new to me. So how do I make a movement from this earlier role to the new one? Or let's say if I am, I was working, let's say, as a junior manager position, and now this new position entails working as a senior role. So can I make a smooth, seamless transition? Is what is, shown or demonstrated here. Enabling new employees to feel supported while they adjust. So there are lots of adjustments, right? So when John Sullivan came from PepsiCo to Apple, just imagine the cultural shock. So he was on the Eastern Seacoast, working for PepsiCo, had to move the entire Americas, okay, go to the West Coast in Silicon Valley, and started to function. Now, how different would that be even for a tenured employee like him? Yeah. So it is considered best practice to provide an induction program to employees. Now this also would cover those executives who would join. Yeah. So I remember I was conducting an induction program for a newly joined senior general manager. So I still remember that day when I gave him an entire insight and he had some very good questions. Yeah. So induction ensures that new employees are initiated in the expectations. They are initiated in the performance and the culture. So it's a wide, wide gamut of activities which they have to be initiated into. They have to be provided an insight into. So these are the four important aspects, okay? In a very simple, cursory fashion, we will understand them. So what's the need? So get on with their co-workers, yeah? Understand the standards and rules, written and unwritten, of the organization. These may pertain to the mission, the vision, the strategic goals. Like every company might have a strategy 2030 now. So what is that? And the rest of the SLAs and SOPs. Make a good impression on their new manager or supervisor by showing that they are knowledgeable about the new organization, and of course be better or be able to do the job in a better fashion right from the onset. So orientation or induction is the first or a quintessential step in the process of human resource management, or as we've come to know it today, as human capital management. It involves the familiarization of newly appointed employees to the work environment, as we've looked at through examples. So induction is nothing but a socializing process. Huh? So these socializing processes have been happening right from the days of Elton Mayo, when they actually conducted a group of psychologists, including Elton Mayo, or who was heading this, conducted the Hawthorne studies, which some of you might know. So right from that moment in time to the contemporary induction processes, it's nothing but a socializing mechanism by which the organizations seek to make an individual its agent for achievement of its objectives. And this happens every place. So there's a wonderful book, you know, about NASA and how teams are created in NASA, that also has a mention of the induction process. So the key is to develop among the newcomers a feeling of loyalty. So the place is warm, it is welcoming. So please come and embrace our culture as soon as possible, since you are now a part of the family, is the clear message that is written. It also helps in fostering a close and cordial relationship amongst existing and new employees. So it's like a connecting bridge, you may say, correct? To ensure that the new employees do not form a false impression and negative attitude towards the organization. Sometimes hearsay comes into play. Sometimes their views are inherited views or opinions. Like a day before joining, some friend says, hey, you know what? Your organization is, you know, into cost-cutting, and development opportunities are few and far and many. Yeah, so they are few and far, they're not many. So if this has been ingrained at the onset, then there will be a false impression. Now it is incumbent upon the company to remove this false impression through a robust induction process. So I believe this example simplifies this particular point. Generally, the process of orientation begins by taking the new employees around the factory. Now I'm skimming through this because this is something which is, you know, we've all experienced. It's common sense. The supervisor gives the new employees introduction to the fellow employees and provides the immediately needed information about others as well as about the organization, so that he or she feels comfortable in the surroundings which are new to them. A few other objectives have been enlisted here. So they will also be acquainted or made acquainted with the brief history of the company, the operations and products. So certain standard operating procedures, certain service level agreements, correct? Certain tax for the company, company's organizational structure. What is the hierarchy? Who's the MD? Who are the next level of executives? Who are the level next? who's part of the middle management, and of course the lower layers. Location of departments and employee facilities. Is there an internet which helps you online? What are the facilities provided, like a dispensary, a cafeteria, a sports room? Personal policies and practices. So what are the HR frameworks related? The rules and regulations, the do's and don'ts, the employee activities, the grievance procedures. So if there is a whistleblowing procedure or a grievance, what is that? How do you put up that to the company HR divisions? Safety mechanisms and measures, and any standing orders thereupon. So this orientation program should not be very lengthy, and it need not necessarily be given on the same day when the employees join. Now, the reason for this is majority of the tenured employees or the hires who have been already working have been through such programs in their earlier organizations. So it has to be concise so that it saves time for the people to go back and become functional and productive. It may be given formally after some time as well. So if there's a contingency and people have to work on that, then the induction program can wait. Also, in case of small firms or startups, it is more likely to be informal and of a short duration. Consider a startup which has opened up in maybe a small city, Nasik, maybe in Maharashtra, or a smaller city like, you know, something like a Jalandhar in Punjab. It's a startup in IT, and it's got a 10-man kind of, you know, strength. And the departments all merge and work together, correct, with the founder sitting along with the other programmers and testers. Is there really a need to have a 20-day induction or a 10-day induction like a Tata or a Mahindra? Not really, correct? So it's up to the discretion depending upon the size and the situation. While in big bureaucratic organizations like an Infosys, a Microsoft, it's more of a formal process because of the numerous departments that are present and can run for several weeks, like 2 weeks to 4 weeks as well. And people can then be relocated to their actual working places. Orientation programs may also be in the form of providing induction training to the new employees, where they are familiarized with the work environment and fellow employees. So this has already been mentioned. Yeah, we are just running through it. The new employees are taught basic techniques or methods to do the work for which they are recruited. So there is a certain checklist. So checklists are very useful, very important. So any effective induction program would also have its own checklist. Here we are running through a cursory checklist and some of the important elements on it. So it's important to create a checklist so that you don't miss out. And the new staff, they get all the details required. This would include an introduction to the business, the colleagues and important stakeholders, an overview of the organizational history, its structure, the vision, the compelling vision. If they have made a vision 2025, a vision 2030, what is that? The overarching culture or the climate, and of course the values. Every organization has its own set of values, correct? So what are those? An employee handbook briefing and reference to the code of conduct. This can be in the form of a soft copy as well. Job description for the employees, such as the title, the roles and responsibilities, and a roster or a work schedule. Now let's quickly look at the benefits of induction, first to the company. So it creates a positive perception of the organization and an understanding of the corporate culture, values, vision, mission, and goals. It can also set a precedent for ongoing training. What's setting a precedent? It can set a certain standard, something that people look forward to when they are told that, okay, after this, there is a certain training which is going to be fruitful for you. So this is done by showing the employees that the organization is serious about developing their skills, the newly joined people's skills, to perform the job in a competent manner. It can also help in motivating the existing employees who are included in this process. Another set of benefits here that are accrued by the company or they're given to the company are a good program can help in cutting down recruitment costs as new staff is more likely to give longer term commitment. So if you become in sync, your synchronization with the new organization happens quickly and you get set into the system, you are unlikely to move out quicker than otherwise. So this reduces recruitment costs in the future if you were to move out. This can also benefit from the insights, objectivity, and fresh ideas of a new employee. So a new employee can also give insights onto how the company is perceived in an external fashion. Now we come to the benefits on the other side of the coin or table, that is the benefits to those who join anew. Yeah, so they feel welcomed and comfortable, correct? So you are introduced to folks proactively, you're introduced to the important stakeholders. Wouldn't you feel wanted? Yes. It confirms the employee's decision to join the organization. Okay, I have made the right choice. I feel wanted. I feel involved. Correct? I feel cherished and nurtured. It helps to build self-esteem, a good sense of morale, and of course, motivation. It establishes good communication and relationship between the employee and the supervisor from the first day. Makes the employee familiar with corporate environment, rules, systems, and regulations in a healthy manner. So, now we will progress to the last topic, a very brief discussion that is very important because as we are, in the, ongoing pandemic, it's subsided though, but still on. So how does induction play a role? So inductions have also now, they have transcended, they have shifted to the online. In fact, I have witnessed online inductions in a few organizations. So these are also the first step for engaging new contractors, employees, suppliers, visitors, so that they remain engaged, they remain in touch or in connect with the organizations. So online inductions are an incredibly efficient way of ensuring that employers and contractors understand the rules, the risks and protocols. So it's sort of a blessing in disguise because you don't need to then house people in your guest house or put them in a hotel when they are coming to your HO. This can all be done from the comfort of their home. So it's a blessing for both, the employees and the employers. Online inductions can serve as training sessions too. They can double up to provide young employees with real job skills through the use of videos, through the use of computer-based training sessions and quizzes and trivia thereupon. Thus, online induction is becoming something of a norm and it's a powerful way to build a cohesive workforce and a strong company brand. So it should, of course, be inclusive or it should comprise of the following key elements. So first is identify the key essentials that need to be covered as a part of the online or the induction program. It's also important to inform the employees about the culture, like the program which runs offline. Inform the employees about the procedures and the code of conduct, and of course, give induction an upgrade with multimedia. So you can have videos, you can have virtual walkthroughs, you can, engage them in CBTs and so on. So this would enhance the value add of the organization. So students, in this way, we have completed another brief chapter, the last one in the subject of recruitment management, and we have addressed the need for an induction and the various important ingredients of an induction, both in the physical form and of course, post-pandemic economy, the online one. So in this way, we have successfully completed 11 chapters on the subject of recruitment management. So here we have discussed the wide gamut, beginning from the process of from the process of recruitment to how does it differ from the selection process. In turn, we've also covered practices related to effective recruitment, practices related to effective selection, As a part of selection, we've covered practices related to the interviewing process, to the testing process, correct, the screening and pre-screening processes. We've also had a different perspective, as we have seen in chapter number 10, where we have addressed, you know, the need to recruit and to do a cultural fitment for the executive class or the C-suite. And finally, as the wide gamut, you know, of the processes under hiring and recruitment, we have covered in a brief yet, you know, in a specific manner, the process of induction and its benefits. Thank you.